gospel, holy lives, and loving each other, because I know that it brings the Father glory, and it pleases him, as it says in the book of John, for his children to walk in the truth. So that's my number one reason for unity that I love, is that it really does glorify God, it honors him, it shows the redemptive nature of Christ and everything he did for us. So my number one thing about unity that I'm thankful for, to have unity with my brothers and sisters, is that it glorifies my Father and my Savior, who is the same. We just talked about the deity of Christ. So that's my reason. And I thought we'd all just share, and we can, you know, if we got more, go around. I got more than that. But we can go around and talk about what unity has meant to us, because we're all kind of taking it from different angles. I mean, I've been at this for many years. I'm like kind of an old war dog. Brother Zelos is older in the faith than our two younger brothers on the line here. So everybody's coming at it from a little bit different perspective. But I guess I'll start with Brother Purgos. What's the one of the things that unity means to you, unity of the brother?
It's exceedingly valuable to me, and it only works through love. And true love is only through God. Colossians 3:13 and 3:14. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, or in some translations, unity.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, love. Yeah, John 13, this would be the sign for the world that you are my disciples, that you just walk away from brothers and sisters and could care less about them. No, that you love one another. That's an awesome verse. How about you, Brother Kuo? What are you thankful about unity of the brethren for?
The thing that came to mind for me is seeing all of the different gifts and abilities and strengths and also weaknesses of the brethren. It's just, we're all a part of one body with one spirit. And the verse that came to mind for me was 1 Corinthians 12. 11 to, I think it's down to 20, yeah. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. That was kind of a mouthful, but I really like that point of, like, we're all different functions, different abilities, different places, situations in our life, but it's all the same spirit, all the one body. God places us where he wills, and yeah.
Amen. Good stuff, brother. Good stuff. Brother Zelos, I think you're up. I know you got something to say about this.
Yeah, I think it's awesome because I'm just gonna. Well, we all know 1 Corinthians 1:10 about basically how we're to be of the same mind and judgment. And
Would you read that for us? Because that maybe some people listening don't know that verse, and that is an awesome verse. Can you read that for us?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I guess that wasn't actually my main verse. I was just starting with that because one of the things that unity, that's so amazing about it, is that we're all so different. Everybody is so different. Everybody comes from a completely different background, different ages, different life experiences. The thing that unites us is Christ and His Spirit. And through that, and in love as a body, you can find a unity where you can actually be of one mind. And the verse I actually had was Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it's just, it's that thought that because we all seek the fellowship of the Spirit and we walk in love, we can fulfill the joy of God to be like-minded, having the same love for one of another, of one accord and of one mind, because we don't do things through strife or vainglory like prideful lifting up or lording over man-made traditions or man-made one pastor, pulpit, churches, or anything like that. But in lowliness of mind, we esteem each other better than ourselves to lift up one another to be more like Christ. And in that way, we put on the mind of Christ, who humbled himself, he goes on to say this, to lift us up to be closer to God. And it's just, that's one of the awesome things about unity, and what it means is the way that being different, but all following the Spirit, we can lift one another up to be more and be more conformed to the image of Christ through accountability and edification.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I just have a couple more thoughts to add in. So unity of the brethren means to me, like, it's I can see other men using the knowledge of God, obviously the Spirit of God, the Word of God, to form themselves, and it's a confirmation of what you believe, what you teach, what you see in Scripture. So it's like, yeah, you can stand all by your own, and I've had to do it many times, just me and Sister Amin, in our Christian walk. We came to Christ with no one on our side. Everyone abandoned us and mocked us and said, you'll shipwreck, you'll die, you won't survive, you won't last. And when I see brothers and sisters that have the same testimony of not only me, what I've been through in the Word of what I see, but also the great men and women of the Bible, that present day people, yeah, I can read about Paul and John the Baptist and our Savior Jesus and the prophets. That's great. I love that. But when you see it in flesh and bone in front of you, whether you see them and you can hug them or go out and preach with them, or you see them from long distance and you can hear them talk and see their ministry, it's a great confirmation. It's a visual confirmation. God did create us as visual beings. The eye is like one of the most unbelievable, amazing creations ever, the eyeball, the human eyeball. So God creates these things for us to see. And when you see these people, like you, brother, and like the sisters we know all around the world that are striving, it's a great encouragement to me, because it like solidifies, yeah, God did a work in me and my wife, Sister Amin, and we're not just some oddballs. That there's that guy right there, same thing happened to him, and that sister right there happened to her. And like Brother Zello said, we can have the one mind of the Spirit. And I love to teach people this. They always say, well, you're not of our body. What body are you of? And I say, there's one body. And they go, well. And I go, you guys have 40,000 flavors. How can this be? One Father, one Savior, one Spirit, one Word, one body, but everybody goes and does their own thing. It's impossible. And so it's rewarding to me when I see my brothers and sisters keeping the Word of God. I love this verse, Revelation 22:9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keepeth the sayings of this book, worship God. I love that. I see my brothers and sisters keeping, in context for today, the sayings of this book, and it gives me great joy, it gives me great peace, it gives me great I guess solidification in who I am in Christ. He's my rock. He's my foundation. But then my brothers and my sisters come in around me, and kind of the old scenario One brick is held in the wall by six other bricks, I think it is. And it's nice to have six other bricks around you, hold you in place. Yeah, Christ is ultimately who's holding us, the Spirit and the Word. But definitely that testimony of other people around us is really, really awesome. So I really appreciate that. Anything else, Brother Zell, Brother Perkos, anything else from you as we're going around here on unity, what it means to you, scripture verses, how it's affected, anything?
You alluded to Peter and being built up as lively stones, but I found 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, our unity of the fellowship glorifies God, doesn't it? Like I said in the beginning, that verse really rounds that home, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Akuo, anything else from you?
Just like a thought, I was just thinking about now, I think it's really cool how we're all at different places in our walk, and we all have different situations that come up in our own life, but the Spirit, it's still one mind, but He shows us things when we need to be shown them in His Word. He strengthens us when we need to be strengthened, and then we edify other brethren who are at different places in their walk, maybe going through similar things, maybe not, but it's really cool just to see just that communication of the Spirit, even though we're at different places in our life. I guess that's just the point I'm trying to bring across, is like it's all working together. We're all at different points, but we can all still edify each other. And maybe you bring up a passage that you've been thinking about all day, specific for your situation, but another brother says, oh, I've never seen that before, I've never heard of that, I gotta look into that. Or it's just the Spirit working at all different points of the body. It's really cool.
Yeah, you know what makes me think of that? Like when we used to live in a homestead, and Sister Armin still cooks, but I'm thinking of the homestead where she used to cook on the wood stove and all that. She'd throw like 20 different ingredients into a pot, and I'm like, what? How's that going to come out? And man, when she's done, it is such an awesome, awesome recipe. And is not the brotherhood like that same thing, an awesome recipe with all different things and different flavors of different people, but thrown together by the Word and the Spirit, it makes a beautiful, beautiful meal or dish, doesn't it? A beautiful offering to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, amen. Brother Zelos, anything more from you?
Yeah. Have you ever considered that the unity of God is brought about by division?
Oh, yeah.
So, God, oh, yeah. The unity of the brethren is basically, it's kind of, God works in these, it's so backwards in the flesh. But the unity of the brethren is brought about by dividing us all from everything else, and only because we're separated and divided and cut off and from everything else can we actually have this unity in the Spirit. Because Jesus himself said this, because some people are going to go like, oh yeah, Jesus is all about unity. Well, actually no, he's not. Luke 12, he said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It's like, so Jesus didn't come for just, oh, unity, unity, peace and harmony, and holding hands, and singing Kumbaya, and just getting along with everybody for the sake of getting along. No. Because God is a God of division. He showed that from, like, the very... I think we can't talk about unity properly without mentioning the dividing and separating that God does. That from the very beginning, God has been about separating His people and His elect away from sin, even to the point where, and I find this interesting, you read in Acts where there was a unified body and an ecclesia at Antioch, and the Holy Spirit said to this ecclesia, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work which I have for them. God is all about separating, and in this separation, he produces a unity where we're separated from everything else except him, and only because we're separated from all things unto him are we united in him to one another, and that's the only way this unity works.
Amen. Yeah, great point. It's like another archetype. You know, Christ coming and being broken for us, and then that calls us out unto unity to him. And you could look at archetypes all over where division, brokenness, things that look in the flesh are wreaking havoc, but end up working out for unity and the glory of God. So yeah, you can see that all over the scriptures. That's a great point. And the one I think of the most is Christ coming, and look what happened to him and what he did for us. And out of that, look at the unity that we have in the body of Christ. I wanted to read Acts 2, because we're all involved in street ministry, and I wanted to encourage you about what you are supposed to be, what you're called to do, and what you're not called to do. And I want to encourage you this as my brethren and sisters, if you're listening, then do witnessing. I know we have sisters listening that do witnessing. You are called to live the gospel, you're called to preach the gospel, and you're called to love your neighbor and love your God. You are not called to add anyone to the body of Christ. We should never put that burden on us. Oh, this person didn't come to the Lord. Wow, that's the 10th one in a row I witnessed to that didn't come to the Lord. You're putting a burden and a weight on you that God never told you to have. The body is added to by the Lord. He says that in Matthew 16 when he says, I will build my ecclesia. And then he says it in Acts 2, 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the ecclesia of the church, I like the word ecclesia, daily, as such should be saved. That's his job. That's his work. We don't convict people. The Holy Spirit does. We don't try to woo people. We don't try to drag them. All we do is preach the gospel, lay the breadcrumbs down for them, the path, the trail, and then the Holy Spirit does the rest, convicts them, and they have to bend their will and come. So this brethren, think about that. Think how precious your brothers and sisters are. God himself added them to the body. We talk about that all the time, about like our clothing. Women cover their heads and men and wear a dress. Men wear tunic-like garments, and we talk about how God himself did that, commanded that. And how important that is. Well, look at the body. So look around your brothers and sisters that you know of and realize how precious they are. We didn't talk them in. We didn't go out and find them. We might have ran into them while we're street preaching. God added them to the body. That should make the unity that we have so much sweeter, don't you think? Have you ever pondered that, brothers?
Yeah, it's a good thought that basically, well, I guess it would tie into kind of what I was talking about earlier, about every one of these people has been separated from everything else unto God.
And just kind of branching off of what you said, Brother Tupos and Brother Patrick, that separation, and we find unity in that separation. There's a verse that came to mind for me, Mark 10, 28-30. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. So yeah. I think that really ties in. Like, you leave everything in your old life for Christ, the gospel's sake, but you also, in the unity of the Spirit, receive new brethren, new mothers, new fathers, new lands, like everything you need. So
amen. That's an awesome verse. That's one of my favorite verses. I love that. Peter's like, hey, what are we going to get? And the Lord said, don't worry. He's going to take care of all of his people. Brother Purgos, anything else from you on this?
I'm not sure if anyone read these two verses, but it seems like Peter's really been doing well for me tonight. 1 Peter 2:9 and 2:10, did anyone read those yet?
I don't think so.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not attained to mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Love that. I love that. That's a great verse. Anything else? Anything else from you, Brother Zelos?
Yeah. Here's another thought to throw in there when it comes to, like, true godly unity in the body. James 2:1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. True unity cannot stand partiality.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, true godly unity, the unity of Christ, is not partial, and it can't be.
Yeah. And God hates partiality, 1 Timothy 5. We can't be partial in the body, we can't be partial in our own, we can't be partial to ourselves. That's a great point. And that causes probably a good time to talk about how the opposite of unity, destruction, separation, disfellowship, we've all known that. And we've also known having to separate from people that don't want to walk in the Lord's ways, don't want to humbly submit themselves, don't want to be part of the fellowship of the brethren. And kind of when you see the opposite, it's kind of like, you know, Brother Zelos was just working on his van, and he got his van running. But for a while, his gospel van didn't start. He put the key in, it don't start. It's like, wow, this is a big thing. It doesn't start. And you take for granted what you have, and all of a sudden when he gets it starting, he's like, he gets it running. He's like, now it runs just the way it should be. I see how it should be. I really appreciate when I start this thing that when I go out to get it, it starts up. And that's how it is like with the unity of the brethren. You look at the body, and maybe you don't take it so, maybe you don't cherish it as much as you should. Then when you see someone either in the body fall out over sin or somebody trying to come in that's a false brethren, and you see the destruction that sin can cause, then all of a sudden you wake up and you go, whoa. When things are really going good and smooth and we're all walking in the Spirit and everybody's trying and nobody's living in sin and we have unity of the brethren, it's a sweet thing. You really appreciate it, don't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That does it, brothers, does a smooth-flowing body of brothers, with brethren and sisters too, does it not give you strength and encouragement? Or if there's sin in a body and destruction, can it weaken you and discourage you?
Yes, actually, I think both of those could be true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What say you, what say you, brothers?
Yes, the body definitely helps to edify itself. We can definitely hold each other's arms up in case Abimelech is starting to win. And if Amen. There's no one to hold up the arms, it's very dark.
Yeah, yeah. And in Matthew 5, Jesus talked about if you have aught with your brother, an issue with your brother. And I can just tell you, over my years of doing this, when I've had an issue with a man that I consider a brother, and it can't be solved, and I've tried my hardest, Paul says, be at peace with all men if possible, you're going to find, young brothers, that you're not always going to be able to live in peace with everyone, no matter how hard you try. It can be hard to overcome that because it's kind of an open wound, and for a long time it's a wound because you love that person or that couple or whoever you knew. You want them to be in your life. You want to be edifying them. You want unity. You want to glorify God together. You want all the stuff we've been talking about tonight, but you can't have it because they're in sin and they're bitter. They won't repent. They won't forgive you for things you either didn't do or things they think you did or whatever, something you did do and you said, forgive me, I didn't mean to do it, I repent, I won't do it again. They won't forgive you, all these things. It causes a wound, and I can tell you from life experience, that wound stays open a long time, and then what happens with a wound that stays open a long time? You end up with a nasty
scar.
Yeah, and I've got a couple scars on my body from wounds that were nasty, and the scars never go away, and they're itchy, they get irritated, they're not fun to have, so So just because it's healed doesn't mean that scar isn't still there. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
We want to protect the unity of the brethren. And I don't know if anybody, does anybody have anything else? I have one thing I want to share at the end, but does anybody have anything else?
Not at the moment.
Okay. Nope.
No.
All right. I just want to share Psalm 133:1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So I really appreciate my brethren, the sisters I know, that dwell together in unity. If you hear yelling in the back, there's some teenagers running around the park, so it's not us. I really appreciate my brothers and sisters, and I'm thankful that God did a work in all of our lives to make it possible for us to forgive each other, to come back to unity, to come to ourselves, to realize that the body and Christ and His Word and the Spirit and the ministry and proclaiming the gospel is so much more important than our flesh, our feelings, our grief, or our not wanting to repent, whatever it is. And so I'm thankful for the brethren, and I appreciate you, and I cherish you, brothers and sisters, and the people that don't want that unity. I love them. I really wish they would turn and repent, because to be outside of the body of Christ, help me, brothers. If you're outside of a biblical body of Christ and won't come to it, aren't you outside of Christ?
Yep.
I mean, we're not saved by the body, but if it's His will that we all love each other and work for each other and forgive each other and strive for each other, if you make up your mind, no, I ain't going to be part of that. I don't want nothing to do with those people. I'm going to do my own thing. Aren't you rejecting the very body that Christ died for? I mean, isn't it, you're basically rejecting Christ, aren't you?
That's very true, yeah.
What do you think of that, Brother Zelos?
I'm pondering that and thinking about it.
Let me ponder it for a minute more. Let me tweak that. When I say you're rejecting Christ, you're sinning against Christ. Maybe you're not outright rejecting Him like an apostate, but I believe you're in sin against Christ, that you're not submitting yourself to His will to go back and to make things right so the world can see the love. Our little fellowship has an awesome redemptive story. Never forget that. Never shy away from the story we have about how we all got broken apart and we found our way back because of the grace of God. It's an awesome story of redemption. The body is all about redemption. We're all together because of Christ, His shed blood, resurrection, His redemption. So if people say, no, I'm staying outside of that, let me tweak my comment. It's not that they're rejecting Christ. They may still have faith in Him, but I believe they're sinning against Christ because they're going against His will. Does that make better sense?
That's more clear, I guess, because because the body and the saints, I guess, if you don't have a reason to reject unity, there's no sin, there's no reason here. You're not walking in love, first of all, and you would, in a sense, be in some serious disobedience. Like, you'd have to have a really, really good reason for why you're not doing this. Or else, in that sense, I could see you're definitely sinning against Christ and the Word and love and against your brothers, even.
Amen. Yeah. So, it's heartbreaking, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen again. We're going to see people come in. Hopefully, it doesn't happen with any of us if we stand fast in the Word and the Spirit, and we endure and we hold each other close. Take care of small issues when they're small. Don't let them get big. Don't keep things in the dark. Bring it in the light. So that's kind of another whole topic we could talk about sometime, how to keep the unity of the brethren. This was about what are you thankful for, the unity of the brethren. So, protect it, cherish it, because it is Christ's ordained way that we work. And look at how awesome it is. We all get to go out and do ministry. We all get to come back and share with each other. Some of us get to go and do ministry together, like Brother Kuo and I will be, Lord willing, headed south, and we'll get to go see Brother Purgos, and we're going to get to all do ministry together. Then they're going to stay together. They're going to get to do ministry together. One day, if the Lord wills, I'm going to meet Brother Zelos, and we're going to have ministry together. So it's an awesome thing that God does, and it's all because of Him. And if we all just keep walking, keeping Him as the centerpiece, love God, love our neighbors. We are each other's neighbor as well, and then we're each other's brother, and we look after each other in the faith, and that that daily edification and lifting each other's arms as they did to Moses. And I love that thought, what you said. It's born out of division. It reminds me of Brother Purgos talks about this all the time. A brother is born out of
adversity or for adversity.
Yeah, and we're kind of all come out of adversity and all kinds of tribulation and all of that. And look, at God's knit us together, and we're ready to go out, preach the biblical God. This was what's great about body life. Ephesians 4:12. For the work of the ministry and the perfecting of the saints for ministry, edification of the saints, and for the training up for the work of the ministry. We're all going out witnessing the gospel. We are ready to receive people that want to follow Christ and ready to disciple them. And we have a body they can come and join and get encouragement in. So we're not rebuilding, but we're holding to the New Testament way, refusing to go the churchianity way and keep all their false ways. So it's a beautiful thing. It's kind of, not kind of, it's exactly like a page out of the book of Acts, if you think about it. That's what we're trying to imitate. Paul said, keep my tradition, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So we're imitating that. So it's a glorious thing. I'm thankful for you all. I will work hard and labor. I pour my blood out for my brothers and sisters to keep the unity of the faith. And I want to leave you with one thought. You realize something. How precious we should be to each other. You know why? A whole bunch of reasons, but there's one eternal reason that we should really be precious to each other and really strive for each other. I'm talking about pour out your blood if you have to, labor with, be long-suffering with, rebuke, correct, come and find if you have to, all of that. There's one really big important reason. You know what it is? Get this. Your brother or sister is the only thing you can take with you out of this life to eternity. That's it. Think about that. Your job, your mammon, your reputation down here, none of it is going with you. But you can take brothers and sisters with you, meaning you can pour into their life. You can help them win their race. You can be part of holding their arms up. Isn't that an awesome thought? It's the only thing we get to take with us. Unless I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, and I guess that would throw yet another, I'm not sure what you want to call it, another twist on the whole idea of somebody who claims Christ and yet doesn't want unity with other saints. I mean, like, if you're claiming to go be with the Lord for eternity, and these people are going to go be with the Lord for eternity, how do you want to spend eternity together and you don't want unity now?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're in terribly dangerous water. They're either in rebellious sin they won't repent of, and that's going to cost them their soul. We all believe that. Or they really are just false converts and kind of fake their way in, and they're too prideful, whatever, to really turn their life over and do everything it takes to be a true follower of Christ and then be a part of the body, because you got to fit into the body. You can't just shove yourself in. You must fit in to the body. And we were talking with another saint that we're trying to help, that might be making an older woman, that might be making a widow, that might be trying to make some fairway, how's the word I'm talking about, to move to be closer to some saints. And we were relaying to them, because we love them, that you know, the body doesn't mold to people. People mold to the body. So in other words, if you're a biblical body, people come and they mold to the image, the doctrines, the ways of this biblical body. And a lot of times people don't want that. They're like, oh, I want it to mold to me so I can keep my ways. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. Christ ordained his body. He shows us how it operates. He shows us what's good stewardship, what's sound doctrine, what's the gospel, how we live. And so that type of thing we have to keep out of the body and get people to say, you know what, I'm willing to come and fit into the body for the glory of God. So, but it's an awesome thing. It's the only thing we get to take with us. So we should be willing to labor and strive, and it's all for the glory of God. I guess that's all I have. If you guys have anything else to share on this, someday we can talk about how to keep the unity of the brother. We got it now. We're striving. Now, next time, maybe Brother Purgos can put this on our list, how to keep the unity of the brethren and what we can do and not do. And that might be a good teaching as well. What do you think?